on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This is a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the f*** off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to a somber edition of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter. Cody, unfortunately, this is what Iowa State football has been, bro. Like, That's the feelings of Iowa State football the last few weeks. The fans have been through a lot. Obviously, if you haven't been paying attention and you haven't been on social media, Rocco Becht is gone, and he has put his name in the transfer portal. Cody, I got to have your thoughts, man. No. Yeah, either way, no matter what fate is, no matter what you try to, no matter how much you try to avoid it, you get kicked in the nuts. It's sort of like Thanos. It says, I forgot what he said. All your, like, whatever. Yes, that's the elite uses, yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, this sucks, especially just after a year after coming off of a title game appearance and winning the most games in school history, having a really good 2 year run, 20-5 as nothing, or 20-8 the last 2 years. No, actually, 20-7 or 19-7 the last 2 years. There's nothing to frown about, but it's just like, now it's just like, man, that everything. And the thing is, we really didn't get a chance to process any of this because all of it happened so fast. And it's just like, man, like, and the worst part is in this era of college football, the losers are truly are the fans, because now it just seems like you got to be sort of like nonchalant and not really have any passion towards a fan base, because it's hard. It's hard, man. Like, I feel for the people that, like, you know, grew up fans of this team, even newer fans like me. Like, you know, it sucks that you know, you put your all into this team, and then, like, in the end, it doesn't really matter, because money is what runs the sport now, and I hate it. Facts.
A lot of ways. Like, there's so many people have so many different ways of handling something like this. So nobody's right or wrong in how they can react, at least to an extent. But everyone's going through the grieving stages right now, and I'm kind of feeling right now. Like, I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. I'm, like, angry. I'm all over the place. I didn't even know how to handle this. When I woke up this morning, I saw the news. I was like, okay, I'm going to lay in bed for at least a couple more hours just to really process this.
Mm-hmm.
What I did. or also right now taking my mind off by watching other things like college basketball. And I mean, there are some great games going on right now.
Yeah. So definitely go and watch college basketball. There are really good matchups today, especially if you don't want to do that. Basically, what college football is turning into, the NFL, we have two NFL games today. We have Eagles Commanders and then Packers Bears, which both have actually consequences. And honestly, you should probably watch NFL. There are a lot of Iowa State players in the league that are going to be in some playoff runs. Brock Purdy and the Niners. You also have Jalen Nolan, Jaden Higgins with the Houston Texans that are they're also going to be in the playoffs as well. So we have plenty of football to watch. Obviously, it's going to be a turbulent few days. Honestly, bro, I just look at it as like, and here's another well-known fact is that many Cyclones are going to leave for the portal. So honestly, I'm sort of at the mentality of I want people who truly want to be here. Like, that's really where it is. If you want to be here, that's great. If you don't, then bye. Like, I don't want that type of player here. It's just like, and I know, like, you know, people will commit to the coach and not the school, but like the people that do want to be here, I do want them here. And everybody else wants them here too.
Yeah. And I mean, now, like early on, like we're talking like players, speaking of players who might leave and stay, who would you like? I'm thinking most likely, who would you want to like stay? Because we know a lot of offensive players are going to leave, probably with Rocco, because he was like the guy in the locker room.
Man, I am hoping to the Lord that we can keep either Manske or Moberly and have that type of piece. Because, like, if we can get one of those quarterbacks to stay, and if we can get one of the running backs to stay, I do think that we can start off with that, and then maybe some O-linemen? Like, man, I can't even tell you right now. I think it's probably going to be at least 25 to 30 players that leave, at least, so. We'll have to see. But I know those are the players that I would want.
Yeah. I think, I mean, early on, a lot of people were thinking they're ready for Alex Manske. They're ready to see him take the reins. And then I think the thing is, Manske and Moberly are both only freshmen, so they probably don't have as deeper of a connection with Campbell as Rocco does. So I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of those two stay. And it would definitely be preferred. And I think Manske would probably be like the early favorite. I'm seeing a lot of people early on say Alex Manske for the starting position.
Yeah, and you just keep hearing things saying that he might leave. I'm like, well, it wouldn't make sense because Rodgers also recruited him. So I guess it's a waiting game to see. And I'm pretty sure we'll probably know the finality of the coaching staff either tomorrow or sometime next week or the week after. Probably the week after because it's about to be the holidays. And we'll know more on January 2nd. I'm really just ready to get this portal up and going and seeing what this roster looks like for next year, honestly, and leave all this behind because it's just been a painful December. When I was thinking that we could build on this and then all this happened so in just a whirlwind, this is not the college football I know. And just like we said, it's a waiting game. It's waiting to see, you know, what truly happens. I know a lot of people in their current state, and I don't blame you right now, are doom and gloom. But also at the same time, I truly do, even if I might be one of the only fans that think this, I truly do believe that Jimmy Rodgers has a good foundation to stand on. And he's put together a really, really good staff. And I believe Tyler Rowe will find the type of players to fit his person, the type of personnel to fit his type of offense that he wants to run. So I actually have full confidence in Jimmy Rodgers that he can get this ship righted. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I'm aboard the Jimmy Rodgers trade. I mean, after obviously what he said out in his press conference and then his speech at Seahawk, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to see what they can do. I mean, obviously all the news for the players leaving, that's going to hurt, but I'm looking forward to the future and I'm living in the present moment right now. And I'm obviously my priorities are the basketball team because they're the ones going right now. That's who I'm looking for. And I would think that they could be, if anything, at least someone to take away from all the football news.
Yeah, I mean, basketball has a chance to be a healing, redeeming part for this Iowa State fan base, especially going into
conference play.
Conference play.
The women's basketball team will start conference play tomorrow when they host Kansas. Then the men will start. They have a couple more bye games before they host West Virginia to start the new year.
Honestly, since we got time, let's take a look at the conference schedule for both. I mean, we might as well get our minds off of this.
Yeah. I want to first go through the men's team. So, I mean, before that, there are a couple more bye games. They will play against Long Beach State and Houston Christian before they start the Big 12 schedule against aforementioned West Virginia. So, looking at this, like, with the way Iowa State's looking right now on the men's side of things, I don't see a loss until – I can only see one loss until we host Kansas on Valentine's Day weekend.
Do you believe that Baylor – do you think that the Baylor atmosphere could be trouble for this team? Because I the more that I look at this team – like, I feel like the Eastern Illinois game was an outlier, and that was just, like, them, like, coming off of a week where they already had to play Iowa, which was an emotionally grueling game. I truly do think that they can beat Baylor with ease. I mean, the only game, I think they go unscathed until they play at KU. KU is a toss-up because it's always tough to play at the Fog. So, that, I'd say... I consider it a win if we go through the first 5-4-1.
I think if there's a year to prove that you truly belong in the top of the Big 12, you have to beat Kansas at the Fog.
Facts.
And especially with the health of Darren Peterson, like, because he's been on and off the court, like, because he got another lingering injury, I believe.
Yeah.
Now hamstring or something.
Yep.
The status of Darren Peterson plays, I think, plays a factor into what Kansas can be. But granted, you did see Melvin Counts Jr. make, what was it, 9 or 10 threes against NC State. But you don't know if you're going to get that on a consistent basis. So you can't trust that until he shows it. So, I mean, for this Kansas team, it's a waiting game to see if Darren Peterson will even be healthy. Because I'm guessing they're probably going to keep him off the court until conference play. That would be my assumption. But if you want to truly prove that you do belong in that top five tier, you got to go and beat Kansas at Kansas.
Yeah, definitely. Is this a put up or shut up time? If you think that this team is Final Four caliber, these are the types of games that you got to win, man.
And then another one that I see, and this is giving Iowa State some problems, at Oklahoma State. This Oklahoma State squad is much better than the one last year, and the last year squad actually beat us, and that was in the kind of faltering. So. I mean, you also got to exercise some demons there in that regard.
Yes. You got to go and win at Gallagher, that, yeah, you got to get revenge for last year. Colorado, like, another one at February 1st against K-State. You know, playing at Bramlage, that game can also be a tricky one because you already know K-State's going to have everything within them to want to be Iowa State.
Yeah. But I think that one is a winnable game. But, I mean, all eyes, conference play-wise, I mean, this front half of the conference schedule is very favorable for Iowa State. But it does get loaded on this back half, starting with hosting Kansas on Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah. I mean, this is, like I said, that these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... these last six games are gonna, I think for me, are what's gonna define the season. If we think that this team is serious, this team should be able to win at least 5 or all of these games.
Yeah.
If we think they're like good enough, they'll be win 4. If they're disappointing, they'll only win half of these.
Yeah. And also, health has to play a part of it.
Yes.
That's been the one thing that's been the kind of the Achilles heel for these TJ Altuve teams, is how worn down the team is in like late January and mid-February. They're always going down at this point in time, so we got to see if they can get through that. But I mean, overall, this could potentially shape up to be a pretty exciting year for the men's side of things. I mean, that game in Tucson on March 2nd, that could potentially have title implications for the Big 12.
Title implications, maybe number one overall seed implications. Like, honestly, that game is going to be for all the marbles, I think, and I can't wait.
Yeah. So definitely something to be excited for. But at the same time, we talk about the number one seed. I think we also have to talk about the women's side of things, because the Iowa State women have gone off to a pretty good start. They're undefeated, and we saw in the last game they can win in multiple ways, even without the presence of Audie Crooks, because she was obviously out due to an injury. But we did hear earlier this week that Audie Crooks is expected to be back playing for the conference over against Kansas. So
okay.
Yeah, so I mean, they've been off this whole week, but I mean, right now, this is really, I think this is favorable. Like Iowa State, them and TCU are probably the two teams that are going to most likely win the conference. It's a race between those two.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If we can get, do we play TCU twice this year?
We only play them once, and it's at TCU, and that's not until the 2nd, the 22nd of February.
So you definitely know more than I do about women's basketball. Where do you think that, like, we could see some possible slip-ups for this?
I would have to say Oklahoma State. The Oklahoma State women's squad is a really – they're in the upper half of the conference, so I can see that being an issue. I would have to look at, as well as at Arizona State, but we do have them at home. So that's a good thing. I mean, they've got the coach, Molly Miller, who came over from Grand Canyon. And she was doing major things at Grand Canyon. And she's got Arizona State, the women's team, on probably like their best start in a while for them. So really, I think this is like Iowa State's league to lose outside of Baylor. But we do host them on the 4th. That would be a huge game early on in conference play. And then TCU. And then Oklahoma State, we get the home and home with them. And then, yeah, I would have to say probably that. Okay. Outside of TCU, I really do not see anybody threatening the way that Iowa State is playing basketball right now.
Yeah.
And if Iowa State can be consistent, they can stay healthy, because this is a much better team than last year. Last year dealt with a lot of inconsistencies and untimely injuries. But I think the women's team, it's just a race for like the one seed, and I think the league is firmly in their hands or TCU. So it just comes down to, can Iowa State stay healthy enough and have the bench perform at a consistent enough level to maintain winning?
Yeah, we just got, I mean, honestly, we need something. We just got to pray for both these basketball teams that they have good health these last few years. Cyclone Nation has been through a lot these past few weeks, man, and this fan base needs a pick me up, man. Like, we've had good luck against, you know, in football against Iowa State and K State, 5-1 the last, what was it, 3-1 against K State, 3-1 against Iowa. So, like, I mean, 6-2 against both of them in football the last three, four years is great, but like, man. If basketball can finally get to the potential that we believe that we can get both these teams to, and then, like, we go and get the number one seed, like, I really do think that would be, like, a cool experience. Even if the men's team gets to, like, makes an Elite Eight run and gets to heights that a team since the 2001 team has made it to. Like, we honestly just need something.
Yeah, and it'd be nice, too, if the women's team got to host the first two rounds. That would be really nice. And I don't know, and I think it is just the first two rounds that, like, the top four seeds host or something like that. I would have to, because I don't know if it's, like, yeah, I don't know if it's, like, volleyball where they have, like, the top overall seed host all the way to the, until, like, the Elite Eight and the Final Four.
Yeah.
But getting to host the first two rounds would be really nice for Iowa State fans, because time and time again, Iowa State has shown to be one of the most consistently attended teams in women's basketball. So it would just be great to reward that with the performance on the court and then just getting a couple home games in the postseason.
Yeah, and then this is just my message to Cyclone Nation. Guys, it's going to be okay, and y'all have the right to feel every right you do. If you feel anger, if you feel hurt, you feel sad. Y'all have every right to feel the way that you want to feel, but it may be just preaching to the choir, but like, things are going to get better. I don't think we're going to go back to ground zero for football. I know y'all may be rolling your eyes right now and say, yeah, whatever, Tyler. I may just be a podcaster, but I do know that this football team is better than what it was when we had no hope in 2015, where we probably would have been just a dumpster fire program before Campbell came in. I do think we'll be on higher ground. So that's all I had to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of dumpster fires, boy, oh boy, Ann Arbor is kind of a dumpster fire right now.
Woo! Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go on a quick tangent because like all like the stuff that's going on there, you have the firing of Sherrone Moore. Then you have the court, like all the cases, the allegations come out. And then now Michigan, I think their athletic department is doing like an internal investigation.
Yeah.
And then I just saw, earlier today as well, Kenny Dillingham, who some Michigan fans were targeting as the next head coach for the Wolverines. Kenny Dillingham signs an extension with Arizona State, so they're not even going to get him. And I know Michigan fans wanted Kenny Dillingham.
Oh yeah, they're in shambles right now. So we are in an interesting time in college football. It is. I'll just say it's going to be a very, very interesting January 2nd portal. Just to see, there's so many other names in there. I'm excited to see how that turns out. I am definitely going to be glued to my phone and on three, as there's going to be so many different transactions. Lots of teams are going to be a lot different next year.
Yeah. Message boards, like disc, like everything's going to be blowing up around the New Year's.
For sure. So you guys stay tuned on that, and we will be here for you guys. Thank you guys, for joining us on this emergency podcast of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We appreciate your guys' support. To find us and chat it up with us, you can find Cody on Twitter at TierneysBurner. You can find me, Tyler, at SciTieGuy. A big thank you to FanDuel. If you want to go no ball, go make money and put your parlays in for today's games. Also, a big shout out to FeedSpot, a top 10 sports podcast in the state of Iowa, a top 35 most listened to podcast in the state of Iowa. Thank you, FeedSpot. Thank you, state of Iowa listeners, and thank you everyone who has supported us along the way. Also, follow us on social media. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and also Twitch. Thank you, Twitch. We are growing on Twitch by the day. Thank you, Twitch viewers, for tuning in. And that is all for today's show. For Tyler Carter, this is a Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll Clones, baby.
Cyclone State.